A very good morning to you. Mary Fagan here with you this morning on Horizons. On the programme, as we begin Mission Month, I chat to the CEO of Mission Cara. We have Father Frantz Nolan on the Cross of Hope. And as we come towards the end of the season of creation, we discuss conservation on the McGillicuddy Reeks. First up, Bishop Ray Brown.
Mary, good morning to you and to all tuned into Horizons this Sunday morning.
Have you noticed a change in the weather?
Very much so. I think everyone was delighted to see good weather for September. Autumn is really only coming these days. Things are changing and it's lovely to see the new colours coming.
We had a very different Horizons last Sunday. It was Kerry Remembers.
Yes. No, I listened in to the full hour last Sunday morning at 9 o'clock. You know, it was a touching programme. What struck me was that COVID has touched so many sections in our community. When you think of what you had on, the medical personnel, and they point to hospitals and sickness and the vaccination and all the advice. But then when you had mentioned schools and teachers, you realise the impact on young families and families with school-going children. You had a whole other world of people caring and equally those at home being cared for. And finally then, lovely to see the undertaker speak. That brought home to us that for many people, you know, death was a reality. Small number from COVID, the vast majority, the ordinary run-of-the-mill deaths, some of them at a great age, sadly too, very sadly, some tragically. You know, you just realised, it touched everyone, and just how many good people, how many people were there for others in their hour of need, in all those areas.
We were very touched by it, and particularly touched by the number of people who wanted names of their loved ones put up on the memory tree. So thanks to all who were involved in it. And parish life is coming alive again, do you think?
It is. Schools are back in full flow. People are back in the workplace. The shops are nearly as busy as ever. The restaurants, all the businesses. So it's been a good month, and thank God the virus seems quite under control. But in a church sense, maybe what has led is all the baptisms that were overdue. There's been a significant number of marriages that have finally taken place with a good number of guests, maybe up to 100. And then when you add in First Communions and Confirmations, and maybe there's another 2 or 3 weeks for them in some parts of the diocese. But when you think of all that, that's parish coming alive again. All those occasions are full of energy, full of joy, full of happiness. So it has given the whole church a lift, and it has been very, very encouraging. And that has reached out to so many homes throughout the parishes, throughout the diocese.
But we can't be too carefree either. COVID-19 hasn't gone away.
Very much so. I think the best way of putting it is that there's been a major shift from adhering to regulations. That's what the government was asking of us up to now. But from now on, the government is saying it's now a matter of personal responsibility. We all have to play our part to keep the virus suppressed, to keep it under control. So it's vital that each of us takes personal responsibility. Masks, social distancing, hand hygiene. I'm encouraging that we do it well in church, because let that be good example to people as to what they do in every other area of life as well. So as you say, it's still vital. It's a matter of personal responsibility. It's good that it's no longer a matter of government regulation and adhering to restrictions.
Today is the last Sunday of the season of creation, and it's also a time when we focus on mission. This is Mission Month.
Yes, the season of creation comes to an end now, tomorrow, with the Feast of St. Francis. During the week, I did a Mass for a secondary school college. It was for transition years, 5th years and 6th years. It was their first time to gather like that in 2 years, if you think of it. But one of the things I spoke about was the importance of the environment, the importance of the season of creation, that God is asking us to care for our common home. Our common home is planet Earth and its people. It was a lovely occasion, and it's great to see the energy and life and fun that's there among the students.
We have a big webinar on the 21st of October We cannot remain silent. What does Mission Month mean to you, Bishop Ray?
And just to encourage people to tune into the webinar, I'm sure it will be advertised on the website and you can tune in there, because everyone is invited. Let everyone tune in. As to what Mission Month means to me, I think of Irish missionaries back through the past predominantly 150 years. It's been a wonderful time for Irish missionaries. There are still many, many Irish missionaries doing good work. Many of them are of a great age. What I would think of is that the Mission Sunday collection is important. You know, let's give generously. Especially important this year because it got caught last year with COVID and it was a poor collection. And where our missionaries are working, they've been far harder hit. They have far greater issues of poverty as a result of COVID. Let's be generous. And let's be generous in honour of all the missionaries that went from our own country over the past century and a half, from our own parishes, from our own townlands. So many listening this morning can point to close relations or distant cousins of their own who have given great service, great witness to Christ on the missions.
And with all that in mind, I'll be chatting to John Moffat, CEO of Mission Cara, later, just to give us a little bit more information about the missions generally. Another thing in the diocese is we're looking at a Together Again Sunday. What are your thoughts on that, Bishop Ray?
Yes, this idea has come up in the past 6 weeks, and the plan is to have this Together Again Sunday on the last day of October, the 31st of October, that Sunday. It's the day before the Feast of All Saints. It's the day before the return to school after midterm break. But it's something simple to say, let's be together again in every sense as a parish. It's time now that we put our coming together for Sunday Mass back at the heart of how we celebrate Sunday. Let's gather for Mass. Now, there will be some for whom it's still not safe to come to church, and we're asking them to continue to participate with us through the streaming, through parish radio, through whatever means of communication. Let's have everything happening again in parish, from bingo to Eucharistic adoration. You know, and bingo is important. So many people have missed that social occasion. Hopefully parishes will be able to restart soon enough. Not sure when, but so many of our people are involved in so many voluntary bodies and so many services within their own communities. Think of Meals on Wheels, daycare, the Wheelchair Association, MS, Cancer Care. There's so many things that could be mentioned. Think of sports, think of Irish dancing, think of card games. These are wonderful things for the life of our community. They're things that really bring out the best in people. It's as simple as that. Together Again Sunday. Let's have everything running again.
It's just a kick-off or part of a process more than one Sunday. It's a building process.
Yes, we've got to respect COVID-19 guidelines. We've got to be safe. And gradually, let us come back to the fullness of parish life and the fullness of life in every sense throughout all our communities.
Bishop Ray, is there anything in particular you're really looking forward to yourself?
You know, I think the last 18 months has taught us to appreciate the ordinary. Here in the cathedral, hearing wedding bells ring, it does us all good. Having fuller congregations gather for Mass, having our novenas back on. Let's do all these things, you know, with gratitude. You know, giving thanks to God that we have come through well and so many people have been shining lights. So much good has happened in facing up to COVID. To finish then with a few lines from the Gloria, just to give praise to God. We rush through them quickly and don't realise the beautiful things we're saying. Lord God, Heavenly King, O God, Almighty Father, we praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you, we give you thanks for your great glory. Mary, every blessing on you and on all tuned in this morning to Horizons, and may all go well in the weeks ahead as regards COVID and as regards, once more, the fullness of life in all of our parishes. Thank you.
Bishop Ray Brown, thank you very much for joining us this morning on Horizons. Foom Lee, I will proclaim your love in the morning.
I will proclaim your love in the morning, and your truth in the watches of the night.
just will flourish like the palm tree.
John Moffat, thank you very much for joining me this morning on Horizons. John, you are the CEO of Mission Cara. Tell us a little bit about the work.
Yeah, so Mission Cara, Mary, was set up in 1994 by the Irish government. And we currently have 88 members who are missionary congregations or lay missionary organisations in 50 countries across the globe in the areas of education, health, livelihoods and human rights. And also just kind of doing support around safeguarding, bringing, you know, kind of lessons learned from other development actors so that we're helping to provide opportunities for our members to learn and constantly improve on the work that they do.
Where is the money that you have coming from? Is it all from the Irish government?
Primarily from the Irish government and through the Irish Aid Programme. So it's paid by the taxpayers, essentially, Mary. And we have a little bit of additional funding that comes through trusts and foundations, mostly from American trusts and foundations that have an interest in supporting Catholic organisations in their development work. So we have a very comprehensive appraisal process in place where our members submit proposals to us on a regular basis. We've communicated clearly what the standards and criteria are for those, and we allocate the funding to the projects that best meet the standards that are required. Having said that, I have to say, Mary, our members are, you know, very well established, consummate development agencies and submit very high quality proposals. So it is a difficult process at times to make decisions on which are the most worthy projects to receive the funding.
Is yours, John, a desk job really, or do you ever go and visit the projects? Is any of that actual visitation required?
Yeah, and we do. Periodically, we will undertake monitoring visits just to check how the projects are doing so that we can report on what's been achieved and also that we can continue to support our members to improve the work that they're undertaking. Mary, as I'm sure you'll appreciate, with the pandemic, our travel has been severely curtailed. So over the last while, we've been really reliant on a technology like Zoom, etc., to keep in touch with our projects overseas. And to be honest, Zoom is great for a lot of things, Mary, but it doesn't replace life interaction that you get from meeting with people in person and being able to see situations emerge and unfold on the ground.
John, I know that missionaries are ageing a lot. How in practice is this being dealt with on the ground?
It is true that the age profile of our missionaries is getting older and the numbers of missionaries serving overseas is declining in the countries in which they operate. There's a real vibrant growth and movement of younger people taking up the roles and taking on the mantle. So the real challenge, I suppose, for our missionaries now is to pass on all that they have learned, all of their knowledge to these younger missionaries overseas and training them up to deliver the excellent and continue the excellent work that they have started over many decades. I think what we are seeing amongst our missionaries is that they're picking up this challenge, they're running with it, they recognise that the work continues, even if their ability and position to be able to be part of that work doesn't.
That is great. Where are the countries that you're working with now in regards to COVID?
Every country's in a different space, I suppose, in a lot of ways, Mary. But most of the countries that we operate in still have very low access to vaccines. They're still challenged with high rates of infection. They're still seeing a lot more restrictions in place in terms of lockdowns. And that has a massive impact on people in the countries in which we operate. In places where there is no social welfare, no benefits service, if people are not able to work for a day, basically they're not able to buy food that day. So the impacts of COVID can be much more extreme in some of the areas in which we're operating. Now, I have to say, our missionary members have not shied away from addressing these issues, and they've been actively involved in continuing to deliver frontline health services to people who need treatment for the symptoms and the effects of COVID. They've also been involved in helping to distribute food in areas where people are really suffering as a result of not being able to work and not being able to earn money. And so they've really been at the front line of working with those who are poorest and most vulnerable to the impacts that COVID has, not just on their health, but on their livelihoods and well-being.
John, do you still believe in this work?
100%, Mary. I think the missionary approach to development is unique and very special. I think faith is a major motivator and driver for many people to really give something back to society and to try and make the world a better place and really to work with the poorest of the poor. It's a major driver for all of the people that we work with. And you see it and you hear it every time you speak to them, how much they love the work that they do. And it really does make a difference. I mean, I think if we were to look at the history of Irish missionaries' work overseas, the impact that they've had on the establishment and maintenance of services and health and education, some of the world's poorest places, is beyond recognition. They have been at the forefront of development for many years and still continue to find the most difficult areas with the poorest people to go and work in and to serve. So they take the time to get to know the communities in which they operate. They really build their projects and programs around the needs of the people in those communities through a thorough understanding of what they will benefit from the most. And they build the most impactful projects that I have witnessed.
And thinking of Ireland itself, in the past you had the church and religious very involved in education, health, and the political systems have grown and developed and take care of that now. Is it not a political system that needs to change?
You know, obviously we'd all like the governments in all of the developing countries taking a much more hands-on and effective role in managing education and health systems and services across the board. But it's still worth bearing in mind, Mary, that many of the countries in which our missionaries still operate have low levels of taxation. Governments have low levels of authority and ability to deliver comprehensive services across the whole of the country. And our missionaries work very effectively within local government and with national government to build curriculums, to build national systems that are appropriate to and effective for the economies and the development of the countries in which they operate in. And very much so now, they continue to work very well and very collectively with those in authority.
John Moffat, CEO of Mission Cara, thank you very much for chatting to me this morning.
It's been great, Mary. Thank you very much for your time.
After the break, Sean Lyons contemplates death.